Baba, you are so good. Baba, you are so lovely. You have made me the star of your eyes. You have made me the jewel of your forehead. You have made me sit on your heart throne, you know. So it's a very nice song in praise of what Baba has given to me. So this is the true love coming from the heart for Baba. And most of you are first timers. And I'm sure right from the time you took the course, you started listening to the Murli, you must have developed that love for Baba. Did it take you time to develop love for Baba, or was it very quickly? Those who say it was very quickly, they raise their hand. Okay. One sister is doing like this. So most of you developed love for Baba very quickly. Some of you took time. I won't make you raise your hand if you took time. But surely those who did it very quickly, they are the fortunate ones. Because you recognized Baba immediately. You recognized that God has come. You recognized the acts of God and how God is doing His task of world transformation. And very soon you came to Madhuban. So you are the last go fast and come first children. Yes? You think you are that? Those who say yes, last, but fast and first. Raise your hand. Okay. Very good. Very. Because actually Baba's words are these. Baba used to say, children, at the end, the children who will come to Baba will go very fast, because they will recognize Baba immediately. The biggest reason is because such children have already had a very bad experience of the world. So they are fed up. Aren't you all fed up of the world? Those who say, yes, we are fed up of the world, raise your hand. Okay. Very good. And therefore, the unlimited disinterest comes immediately. And when Baba says, children, everything is going to be destroyed, and the children get their unlimited disinterest very quickly. So this is the place, this is the hall from where Baba spoke all these murlis. Baba used to sit on this gaddi, the same gaddi, we haven't changed it. This was Baba's seat and this was Mama's seat. And in between there used to be another seat, and that was for the children. Because before Baba, Mama would come to the class, somebody would conduct meditation and that one would sit in the middle. So first Mama would come. Our Mama would speak for 10 minutes, and then Baba would come. And it used to be very interesting, when Baba would come, Mama would immediately stop. She wouldn't say even one word more. You know, sometimes we finish the sentence. Daddy comes, but we finish the sentence. And then the speaking. But Mama had so much respect for Baba that the moment Baba came, immediately Mama would stop, even if it was a half sentence. You know, this was Mama's great respect for Baba. So Baba used to tell her, "Not, Mama, continue, you know, finish the sentence." But she couldn't speak in front of Baba. That much respect she had. So Baba was also very clever. You know what he used to do? He used to come and then just peep inside from the door, not enter, because he wanted to hear what Mama was speaking. He wanted to hear, because if he would come, Mama would see him, she would stop. So he didn't want that Mama should stop. He didn't want that Mama should see Baba. Otherwise she will stop. So Baba used to peep, you know, and sometimes listen very carefully. And Baba appreciated, because Baba would say, "Yes, Mama has digested the whole Murli and she is able to speak accurately." And also in the yagya, because Mama was living separately in Karachi with the sister, and Baba was away with his family. You know, Baba had a family, his children, grandchildren. So Baba stayed with them for some time, and Mama was with everybody else. So Baba used to write the Murli and send it to Mama. And Mama would read the Murli on her own and then explain the Murli in her own way, in her own words. And sometimes what she would explain would be even better, because she would elaborate. So Baba would say that you are the real Saraswati. And you are the real mother. Because, you know, when a child is very small, the mother, she has to feed the child, but she cannot feed very hard food, you know, because the child can't digest. So what does the mother do? She makes the food very soft. The child doesn't have teeth, you know? So she makes it very soft so that the child can eat easily. He doesn't have to, you know, break any more cell. It is very easy. So the same thing, you see birds, how the birds feed their children. They pick up the food and then they munch it in their mouth. And then they make it very soft. And then from their mouth, they put in the child's mouth. They have hands, no? So the beak does the work. And they put in the baby chick or whatever bird mouth. So Mama was the mother. Baba was the ocean father. So father would speak the Murli in such a way, one point, this next point, third point. In an ocean, how the waves come in an ocean, one from this side, the other from that side, the other from that side. Nobody can swim in the ocean at first go. You know, it's not good also. First to learn swimming, what they have to do? Not straight into the sea. No? How do you learn swimming? First in a small swimming pool, and then with that bloat. You know what, you get some rubber, you have to wear that, and somebody to guide you. And then gradually when you become clever enough, you have done a lot of practice, then you can even jump into the sea and swim. It's not a big problem. So Baba was like the sea, the ocean. That's why we get so many points in one Murli, so many different points, variety of points of knowledge, yoga, dharana, seva, you know, so many. Brahma Baba's own experience, direct Shiv Baba's versions, and Baba would sometimes talk about his old days, his, you know, when he was in Lokik business, he would speak a lot, and also his own efforts. So many, many things. In one Murli, you get so many points. But Mama was different. when Mama would start speaking, she would just pick up one point and elaborate on only one point. Supposing she wanted to speak about God is not omnipresent. So in Baba's Murlis it comes, you know, many, many different points on God not omnipresent. But when Mama would start God not omnipresent, so whole Murli, all 15, 20 minutes would be just on that one point. Different things to explain God is not omnipresent. So it was very easy for new ones to understand Baba's, to Mama's Murli, very easy, because very simple. Also very easy for new ones. But Baba did not allow any new ones to sit in the Murli. Because Baba would say, first of all, they don't know who this one is. They don't know that Shiv Baba comes in this body and speaks. And they don't know, and they don't have that faith. Maybe they'll just think that this one is speaking, Brahma Baba is speaking. So they will not listen with that faith also. They'll say, okay, he's like a guru sitting and speaking. And therefore Baba would never allow any new ones to come and sit in the class, you know. But Mama used to travel a lot, and wherever she would go, so many would come, contact souls, and they would come, and Mama would also meet them personally, but Baba would not. Mama would give lectures in big gatherings too, but Baba never. You know, why? Because nobody understood who Baba was, no? So also Baba had to be protected also, because anybody could harm Baba, because Baba was very powerful. And Baba used to speak directly, you know, Shiv Baba through Brahma Baba directly. Many people would not understand what Baba is saying, so they would probably, some not like it also, no? Because Baba spoke the truth. He didn't care, you know, almighty authority, speaking the truth. So truth sometimes hurts, you know, because people don't understand. And therefore, Baba would say that I speak only to my children, those who have recognized me. So this was a difference. But both were like parents, alaukik parents for the children. So when Mama would stop speaking and Baba would start, then she would actually want to get up and sit opposite Baba, so that she could watch Baba all the time, you know. But then Baba did not allow her to get up and sit down. Baba would say, no child, you sit here, this is your seat, this is the seat of Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, you keep sitting. But now, how she would sit? Baba is here, and how can she face the front? So what she used to do, because Baba would not allow her to sit down. So she would do like this all the time. Like sitting here and just like watching, you know, all the time like this. All the time Baba spoke at least half an hour, 45 minutes. Baba used to speak the Murli even 1 hour also sometimes. But all the time stand sitting sideways. I remember, I came to Baba in 1961, I was just 13 years old here in Madhuban. I came with my mother, and my teacher in the center, she taught me an English poetry. So, a poetry in English, it was like an action song, action poetry. So, I don't know the words now, but I remember very well. So, Baba told me, you sit on the middle seat, a 13-year-old girl, just how I was very young. In 1961, Baba said, "You sit in the middle and give drishti to everybody, and then when Baba and Mama are here, then you recite your poetry." And it was in English, so what I did, I sat and I recited that poetry sitting next to Baba and Mama. Actually, I should say that in my school, my college, I had always participated in elocution competitions, you know, speeches. And I had also won awards, lectures. I love to give lectures. So I love to teach. Actually, the real word should be teaching is in my bloodline. So when I gave that recited that poetry in English, Baba said, "Oh, you speak very good English. You are very clever." Baba wants children who speak English, and Baba will send you abroad. You know, Baba will send you abroad. Baba gave this blessing from this seat to me. And see how I've been able to go abroad so many times. So this was Baba's blessing to me. So whenever I sit here, I feel very intoxicated. Because Baba had given me that blessing and I had spoken in front of Baba. Okay. Okay, so now I would like to share how Yajna came to Mount Abu. And we'll share right from the beginning. Although I was not there in Gyan at that time, this body was born in 1948, but Baba came in 1936-37. But when I tell about the Yajna stories, I feel that I was actually there, maybe in my past birth. I have this feeling. And also, as I was saying yesterday too, that many used to tell me that you are like second birth Brahmin. So, and I very proudly say, you know, when people ask me, how did you take your spiritual birth? So very many give different answers of how they took spiritual birth. Yes, brother, where is he going? You want to sit on that sofa? Come in the front, there's so much space here. Come. So those youngsters can sit on the floor, please. See, you come here. Okay? Which language? French? What was I saying? Yeah. I took, you know, many people when they are asked, how did you take your spiritual birth? So there are different answers. Some may say, drishti from Dadi, and I was so excited, so intoxicated, and I felt, yes, this is what I was looking for. Some say they did the course. Some say they got Toli, and the Toli did the magic. Some say that they got a very beautiful vision, you know, and so many, many answers, there are different answers, how they took a spiritual birth, the first time they came in contact. But I say very proudly that my spiritual birth was in Brahma Baba's lap. Yes, this is my privilege. Because, you know, children used to come to meet Baba, so Baba used to meet everybody. And Baba used to take children in his lap. So my mother went first. And It was actually Brahma Bhojan. And in that Brahma Bhojan, a few mothers were invited. So my mother was also invited, and she took me too. Hindi walo ka class upar hai. Any Hindi people here? You can go up. Okay, yeah, you can sit on the sofa. Okay, yeah. So actually, when Baba's children would have Brahma Bhojan with Baba, it was very, very special. And a big privilege to have Brahma Bhojan with Baba. And in history hall, yeah, Brahma Bhojan. So Baba would sit here and everybody would sit in a rectangle down on the floor. No tables, no chairs on the floor, you know. So this was in Mumbai. So my first time, my mother took me to Baba. And it was a Brahma Bhojan. It was in the year 1959, December or 60, January. I don't remember, but sometime during that time. So everybody would come to Baba and put the head in Baba's lap. You know, Baba would sit cross-legged and put the head in Baba's lap, and then Baba would pat on the back. And then Baba would say, okay, you know, get up, like, and then Baba would give drishti. After that, one would get up and would put his head up and then put a morsel in the mouth. That's what I said yesterday. So, the same thing. So, after my mother finished, I did not know what to do because I was so young, hardly 12 years old. So, I was afraid because I probably little children not allowed. No, never know. But then Baba called me, come child, come child. And immediately I ran to Baba like a magnet pulling a needle. I felt my father is calling me. So I ran and I just went and hugged Baba, you know. I caught hold of him so tightly and I shook Baba so strongly. And then Baba patted on my back and Baba blessed me. The child has come back to the father. This was like the first blessing I got from Baba. It was a blessing in the form of a spiritual birth. The child has come back to the father. And then, of course, no looking back after that. So this is, but I still do feel that I was in the yajna. And I was very close to Manohar Indra Dadi. She was one of the dadis who was very well known for telling yajna stories. Yajna stories. Anybody she would meet, she would tell yajna stories. So I was very interested in knowing these yajna stories about each dadi. And dadi, I don't know, we can keep a class on this and tell all about the advanced party souls or those the yajna souls, you know, the senior dadis. I can tell about them because I have seen mostly all of them from 1960 onwards. But then when she used to relate the yajna story, I used to listen very attentively. And I would feel as if I'm also in that. That's what I used to feel. So these are all the pictures. I would like to tell you about these pictures. See, you know, this number 1, 2, 3, 4. This fourth picture, I start from that picture. The one who is standing is Dadi Chandramani. She was called the lioness. Baba used to call her the lioness of Punjab, standing. Very tall she was. Who saw Chandramani Dadi? Anybody? You saw, yeah, of course, the older ones still don't. So she was a teacher because Baba had opened a school. You know, Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma much later. Baba had actually opened a school even beforehand. He had got a big house built, and one portion of that was a school for little children, especially girls, only girls. Baba had great respect for females, for women, for kumaris, for girls, Baba would say that these Kumaris can do wonders. So Baba did not want that these Kumaris should go only for worldly knowledge, but they should get spiritual knowledge also. So Baba had opened a school, and Baba wanted teachers who would teach to them, not just to teach and get paid, not for earning money, but to become like spiritual teachers and be an example for them. This is what Baba wanted, and so that they could dedicate their life to God and serve the little children. So Dari was already there, Prakash, one of the teachers, that's Dari Prakash Mani, you know, yeah. So, because how these dadis came to Baba, many of them, they came to Baba when Baba told them that, would you like to serve? Would you like to surrender your life to God? And how they readily accepted that they wanted to surrender their life to God. And that's how they became teachers in that school. So this is that classroom where they studied. And you can see the next picture. And this is the next picture, the little girls. You can see that? Little girls. So the smallest one is hardly 4 or 5 years old. You the little one? Yeah? You can, the brother, you can stand up and show. You just stand up. You like to stand up and show? You want? So the little girl, yeah, the little one right on the left. On the left, the smallest one. Yeah, so all these little children, yeah, hardly 4 or 5 years old maybe, and then maybe they were told to stand according to their heights. And the photograph was taken like this and then like that. So early in the morning, how they used to do exercise. And in their shorts, they have worn shorts, you know, shorts and shirt. Yeah. Yeah, this was in Karachi. Yeah, in Karachi. No, No, Dadi Janki was not in this because she was actually living at home. She came little bit late. She was in bondage. So she could not come. But these little girls who surrendered to Baba at the beginning, so it is at that time, so how they used to go and do exercise, some physical exercise, stretching exercise, and then they would go to the classroom. So this was like their uniform for this class also, or somewhat, I don't know. But that was the beginning time. And then see later on, how even the older ones, they were in shorts because they used to go to the beach in Karachi and do exercise, do tapasya, and that's Mama sitting next to Baba. Mama was only 16 years old when she came to Baba. Baba was 60 years old and no Laukik relationship. They didn't have any relationship. She was from a different family and Baba was from a different family. But then how Mama came to Baba is also a very interesting story. You know, Mama was very clever student. She had won awards in different arts. She used to do singing, dancing, and also, you know, playing the harmonium, playing sitar, many musical instruments, and her voice was very good. So she was well known in Hyderabad Sindh. So her father, he was also a jewel merchant like Brahma Baba, a jeweler who used to deal in diamonds and jewelry, diamond jewelry. So he actually became bankrupt in his business and he got a very big shock and he died through heart attack, heart failure because of that shock. Now the mother, means Mama's mother, She used to cry and cry and cry and cry whole day. No sleep, no food, just crying and crying because widows were considered to be, we were looked upon as someone, you know, who's like very bad for the society. They were like a curse for the society. So no men would like to come close to a widow because think that, maybe I will also die. You know, men used to think like that. So women had to face so much of torture at that time. And when her father died, so her mother used to cry whole day. But then somebody told Mama that take your mother to Baba. And maybe when she sees Baba, she will stop crying. Because so many unhappy women would come to Baba. And Baba would give them the experience of peace. So when Mama's mother came, Mama brought her name was Radhe. That means Mama's original name was Radhe. So when Radhe brought her mother to Baba, she came crying. But the moment she saw Baba, immediately she went into trance and saw that Brahma Baba was no more in that white dress, white kurta and dhoti, that's what Baba used to wear. But she saw Krishna standing, Sri Krishna. And the moment she saw Sri Krishna standing, such a beautiful Krishna, immediately she began to laugh so loudly, she went and caught hold of Baba, as if she was holding Krishna. This was her first experience. And then she became quiet and she stopped crying. So it was a big news that Radhe's mother went to Baba crying, but she came back laughing, means happily. So that was a change which came in her life. But then Baba knew Mama very well, because her father was a jewel merchant and Baba was also a jewel merchant. They knew each other. And Baba knew that this girl has a very good voice. She sings very well. She plays the musical instruments very well. And so Baba used to write songs, hymns. And Baba would tell her that now make music to sing this song. Or Baba used to recite Om, long Om. And Baba would tell her, now you say Om. So when she used to recite Om with that lovely sweet voice, immediately all those who were sitting in the gathering, they would see her dressed up like Radhe. Brahma Baba like Krishna, and she like Radhe. That's why she became the mother, the spiritual mother. She was much younger than the other sisters. Others were older. Like Dadi Janki was 21 years old. Didi was 20 years old. There were many others. But because Mama, people got vision of Mama as Radhe, Lakshmi. That is why she became like the spiritual mother. And she was the mother like of even of the older ones in age. Everyone used to call her Mama, mother. First of all, Baba started calling her Mama. She is your mother, your spiritual mother. And then everybody started calling her Mama. And she gives so much love to everybody. That's why Dadi Janki sometimes tell how Mama became Mama. A young Kumari became a mother. How she became a mother? Because she got those sanskars of a mother, and how she sustained the whole yagya for 14 years in the yagya. So this is, wearing shorts, and they used to go to the beach and do exercise there. So these are pictures of that place. Now what happened in the year 1947? India and Pakistan were separated. Actually, Sindh, where Karachi was, that was part of Bharat before. And the Britishers were ruling in India. So, India became independent on 15th of August 1947. But then the Britishers were very cunning. Whichever country they ruled, they divided the country into two. And made enemies. That's what they did. Divide and rule policy. That was the Britishers' policy of conquering the whole world. So the same thing they did with India. They divided the country, and Pakistan became the Muslim country. And this was a democratic country. India was a democratic country. But then in 47, when Muslims claimed that Pakistan to be their country, all the Hindus who were in Pakistan, they were being killed. They were being killed by the Muslims. Because the Muslims said, now this is our country, no Hindus should live here. So the Hindus were so afraid, they fled. They ran out of the country, leaving all their valuables, their houses, everything. Hindus, Sikhs also, you know, Sikhs, they too. And so many ran just to save themselves, otherwise the Muslims were killing them. So all the Sindhis also left. But this organization remained intact. Why? Because the chief minister of Sindh, was Sindh province, Sindh state, was Baba's friend. He was Baba's friend. He told them that you all don't go. I will see that you are protected. Nobody will be able to touch you all, because these sisters were in total isolation. Total isolation. They didn't go out. They didn't see the world. And therefore, they were given complete protection. Sometimes, you know, strangers would come and ask them, what religion do you belong to? Because there were only three options. If you are a Hindu and you want to live here, become a Muslim. They would convert them. And if you don't, then go to India, go to Hindustan. Third was, get killed. Only three options, either become a Muslim, or go to India, or be killed. Otherwise you can't live here. So they used to come and ask, which religion do you belong to? So these sisters were Shaktis. They would say, we belong to the religion of humanity. Humanity is our religion. We don't know of any other religion. And anyway, they got protection because they were fully protected, so nobody could do anything to them. And they stayed after independence when all this struggle was going on. They were all there for 14 years, from 1937 until 1950. They stayed in total isolation from everybody. And how they were fully protected, but then on 26th of January 1950, India got its republic. The Britishers left completely. And after that, Shiv Baba gave the blessings or the vision. Now you have to go to Bharat. You have to go to India. Because India, Bharat, is going to be the lighthouse of the world. And therefore you have to go to Bharat. And you have to go on a mountain top, because first they were in Karachi near the sea, the ocean, like Mumbai. Mumbai has the ocean. And so they lived there. But then God told them, Shiv Baba told them, now go on a mountain. So this Mount Abu mountain is a small mountain, not a very high altitude. It's only 4,000 feet above sea level, this place where we are. So the chief minister was very kind, and he said, okay, if you want to go to Bharat, then I will help you all. So this is, you know, they have packed everything in big boxes, and all the the blankets and quilts and everything is all there. And see Dadi Janki, can you see Dadi Janki? Just stand up, brother, and show. Stand on that. The last one on the right. Yeah, right on top. You can see? Later on you'll see closely. Dadi Janki, right on top, sitting like this. No, you can see? Small in size. So, this was in 1950. Dadi was born in 1916. So, 1916, we celebrated 100 years in 2016. So 1916, and so 26, 36, 46, 35, 36 years. but very small, looking very young. So that's what she was. So, and all, everything is packed. So the chief minister told them, you all can take everything. Nobody is going to stop you. And that is a ship. The ship in which they came from Karachi to somewhere in Gujarat called Okha, Okha Harbor. So this is a ship, and there many VIPs, many people, even the chief minister himself, he came to bid them farewell because they were coming to India with all their luggage. And then in a ship they came to Okha. It's a harbor in Saurashtra, in Gujarat. And then from there they came by train. So this is the train in which they came. So after 14 years they saw the world. This is Abu Road station. They were all getting down at Abu Road station. And then you know when they bought a lot of vegetables from Abu Road. See, this is the next picture. Down. The next picture. Show, you can show, brother. They are carrying this, you know, this is called, what do you call it? Pumpkin. Yeah, pumpkin on their head. Because they all came in a bus. And what happened was, the bus got spoiled, something. So they are carrying the pumpkin or some other things on their head and they had to walk up the mountain. So, see, this is how they were at the beginning in 1950 when they came. So it's interesting. I don't know what program, what it was, but they are carrying these pumpkins up the mountain. And see Baba, how Baba used to play with Baba, some other. This was the beginning. In 1950, they came to Mount Abu. And from 1937 to 1950, they were in Karachi. But during those years, 1937 to 1950, the whole world changed. Whole world change means there was a big change in the map of India, of the world. First of all, there was Second World War. The Second World War took place from 1939 to 1945. For 6 years, the Second World War took place when Hitler, you know, Japan, Germany and some other countries were on one side and America, England, all on the other side, and there was a very big war in which millions and millions of people died. Then communism came in East Europe, and you all know how the war was over, Second World War, when America bombed Japan, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Japan. At that time, there was a king in Japan, and the king surrendered to America, lost the battle. And that's how America stopped bombarding, and that was the end of the Second World War. But then, in the meantime, so many millions of people died. So on one hand, a big change in the map of the world. And on the other hand, in India, there was this the Britishers ruling and how they left and divided the country into two. So these things happened, and in India also when this shuffle took place, the Hindus coming from Pakistan and the Muslims going from India to Pakistan, so many deaths, people were being killed on the way. The Hindus killed the Muslims killed the Hindus, big war. Bloodshed everywhere in India also. But how Baba protected his children. And after that, when 26 January, everything stopped. Republic of India took place. The Britishers left completely. And India was declared as a democratic country. The Muslims could stay here. And then they also declared, okay, all the Hindus who are there, they can continue to stay there. And the countries became peaceful. India and Pakistan. But till today, they are enemies, India and Pakistan. They can't see each other. India making bomb, Pakistan making bomb. And each threatening each other. If you start, I will also do. If you start, I will do. So they are threatening each other. So they are very big enemies. But when we speak, you know, on Independence Day or Republic Day, we give speeches. So we say, nobody is really our enemy. Pakistan is not our enemy. Our real enemy is the five vices. Lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. They are our enemies. So we have to conquer this enemy. And for that we don't need weapons. We don't need atom bomb. What we need? Baba said, Atmik bomb, Paramatma bomb, God bomb, soul bomb. So that's what we say in our speeches in India. So no human beings are our enemies. All are children of God. We have to see everyone as children of God. And like Baba said in today's Murli also, scholars, pundits, you know, they don't use weapons because they are non-violent. So we are also non-violent warriors. We are at war. But who's our enemy? Who's our enemy? Maya, Ravan, five vices. We are at war with that enemy. We are unknown warrior, very well known. How are we very well known? Because in scriptures, the names of Pandavas, the names of Shaktis, all that is there. So they fought a battle. But Baba says this battle is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. You know, very recently, a few years ago in Russia, there was a big question. One of the ministers, he said, this Gita should not be read in Russia. Why? Because it encourages war. And then how there was a very big discussion, a very big argument, because the Gita speaks about war, but then on the other hand, it talks about the immortality of the soul, it talks about, you know, the spiritual things, karma, philosophy, all about God, you know. So how could it be a war? In a war, such things are not spoken of. So at the end, the court said, yes, the Gita can be you know, read in Russia. Otherwise, they wanted to ban Gita because it encourages war. But we know the Gita is not a physical war, but it is a spiritual war. So, I can tell you the essence of the Gita in 5 points. The whole essence of the Gita. You know, Arjuna being taught knowledge to, you know, God speaking to Arjuna. Only in Gita it is said God speaks. In no other scripture is written God speaks. So it is in 5 points the whole Gita can be explained. The battlefield is there. The Kauravas and the Pandavas, they are cousins, and how they are fighting a battle. And there on Arjun from the Pandava side, he does not want to fight. He does not want to fight. Why he does not want to fight? Because he thinks, my own kinsmen, my own cousins, my own gurus, from whom I have learned so much, the one who taught me how to use the bow and arrow, how can I kill them? Bhishma Pitame, he was such a great, great guru and a very powerful yogi, a powerful celibate man and very well respected, but all on the Gaurava side. And Pandavas were just 5 and his and their small battalion. Anyway, how can I fight? I can't fight. I can't kill my own people. They are my own people. How can I kill them? Now he is refusing to fight. Just imagine standing on the battlefield and refusing to fight. So now God starts giving him knowledge. Actually, it is conquering attachment. Because Arjuna became too much attached. How can I kill them? I can't kill them. And he just dropped his bow and arrow. I can't do this work of killing them because they are my own family. So now the knowledge of Gita begins. The first chapter tells in the Gita about how, who's on the Pandava side, who's on the Kaurava side. You know, Baba said in today's Murli, Bhishma, Pitame, Dronacharya, they were the big gurus, all on the Kaurava side. And how can I kill them? So they were on that side and Pandavas were very few. And when he stops, now God starts giving them jnana. That's the second chapter, is about God giving jnana of soul to Arjuna. Arjuna, why do you think you are going to kill them? You can't kill anyone. Why you can't kill anyone? Because everyone is... A soul never dies. A soul is never born. It only changes the costume, the body. And when it enters the body, it is birth. When it leaves the body, it is death. So the soul is never born nor does it die. So you're not really going to kill. You have to just do your duty. That's all. It's your duty now. You're on a battlefield. You have to use your bow and arrow and start fighting. He said, no, I can't. He stops. He refuses to take his bow and arrow and fight. Because he thinks they are his own family members, his cousins. How can he kill them? Although God says they are souls, see them as souls. But he can't see them as souls. No, he's seeing them as a body. So for the second chapter is all about what is soul. Now when Arjuna does not understand, then God uses another method to make him understand, to start fighting. And the second thing God tells him is, Arjuna, why, you know, if you won't do this, your duty of killing, you will be called a coward. Because you are a kshatriya. Kshatriya means warrior. So you are a warrior and you are supposed to fight, you will be called a coward. And what will your generations think about you? They'll say, our forefather was a coward. Do you want them to call you a coward? And then God is giving him his, you know, telling him about who he is. You are a warrior. You are a kshatriya. Kshatriyas never are defeated. They're always victorious. Whatever word they keep, they commit themselves to some word, they do it. They don't go against their word. So all about the kshatriyas. You know, Baba talks about self-respect. So Arjuna was told all about his self-respect. Who are you? You can't leave the battlefield and go away. You will be called a coward. You will be called defeated and you can't be defeated. But again, Arjuna is not willing. He said, I don't mind being defeated. But I can't kill them because of his attachment. And this is the second point, but still Arjuna doesn't understand. The third point is, God is telling Arjuna, see, you are going to be victorious. Victory is destined for you. Therefore, do your duty. And it's all in your destiny to be victorious. You have to just use your bow and arrow and start fighting. And I am with you. So don't worry. You are going to be victorious. And you have been victorious in every kalpa. You were victorious in the last kalpa. Before that. We have met many times. And we have met many times. Many times this thing has been done. So it's nothing new. Nothing new. Just repeat what you have done before. You know, like Baba tells. So, and you are going to be victorious like you were in the last kalpa. So just do your duty. And you know what he says? I don't want such victory. I don't want such victory. What's the use of this victory? If I'm going to kill so many people, I don't want such victory. And he doesn't pick up the bow and arrow. Then God tells him that, listen, if you are going to be victory, you are going to get heaven. Heaven is your birthright. You will achieve heaven. You will achieve all the happiness of heaven. But he said, I don't want such a heaven. I don't want a heaven. That's what he said. But I can't fight because my own people, how can I kill them? Again, attachment. I don't want such a heaven. God tells him, okay, even if you don't win, you will go to heaven. But definitely you are going to win. But if you think you won't win, you will still go to heaven. You just have to fight. Because if you fight in the battlefield, and if you die, you will definitely go to heaven. You know, that's why in India, the soldiers are told that if you die on the battlefield, you'll go to heaven. So it's like in every religion also. So anyway, but still he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand at all. How much knowledge God is giving to him, he doesn't understand. And ultimately God uses the Brahmastra, the last resort, to make him understand. And that last resort is, God gives him his vision of the variety form of Vishnu. That's what they show, because then they have described Krishna giving knowledge. And in that variety form, they show the head, many, many heads, many, many heads. So that's the deities. And the warriors in the arms, the merchant class in the stomach, the body, and the Shudras, the Shudras. So deities, Kshatriyas and Shudras. Brahmins are not shown in that variety form of Vishnu, they don't know. But Baba adds that Brahmins are the top knot and Shiva Baba at the top. So Arjuna gets the vision of that variety form of Vishnu, and such powerful light he sees. He says, enough, I can't bear it anymore, like Baba says. Now I have realized, who is telling me this? Who is telling me to fight? Because till then, Arjuna thought Krishna was his friend, because they were friends in their childhood. So he's like my friend advising me. He didn't think that he was God telling him. You know, like Baba says that some people think this Brahma Baba is saying. But Brahma Baba did not know anything. He was a devotee just like all of us. He didn't have this knowledge. But Shiv Baba came in his body and he spoke through him. But many people don't understand. They don't see Shiv Baba. They see only Brahma Baba. This is why... You want to say something? Okay. So they could see only Brahma Baba. And then similarly, Arjuna saw only Krishna in a human form. He never realized that it is God telling me to fight. And then when he got that vision, then he realized, oh, it's God telling me. Okay, now I have understood what you are trying to tell me. I now am ready to fight. So he bows before Krishna, Arjuna, and he says, I am now ready. Now I have given up attachment. I'm no more attached to anyone, and I will do my duty. So then the battle begins, and then how Arjuna wins. You know, many people question that why did Krishna have to force Arjuna so much to fight? Krishna himself could have fought. Why did he tell Arjuna to fight? But the reason is that God does not do anything. God is only an observer. He encourages. He gives strength. Because every time God is telling Arjuna how to fight, when to fight, why to fight, in which way to fight. And at the end, you know, when all others were killed, Bhishma Pitameh, he was a big guru, like the biggest father, and he was to be killed. And he was very strong. Nobody could overcome Bhishma Pitameh. So, but then Krishna knew that if a woman would come in front, then Bhishma Pitameh is not going to fight. So a woman, that's what Baba says, you Shaktis will fight, will make the big gurus also to bow before you. So a woman was brought. Actually, there are different stories. Some say it was a woman, some say it was the one who was neither a male nor female. You know? What do you call them? what do you call them? Those who are neither male nor female. They are given any special name? You all don't know? Huh? Unisex. Yeah, unisex. So, that one was also with the Pandavas, so that one was brought in front. And the Bhishma Pitame said that he cannot use his bow and arrow. And Arjuna began to fight, keeping her in front. And that's why Bhishma Pitame did not retaliate, did not react. And he started accepting all the arrows. But then he had also another very big blessing, that he would die only when he wanted to die. Otherwise, he would not die. So all the bad arrows were hitting him, and he made a bed of roses, of thorns or arrows, and he slept on that bed of arrows. But he said, I will relinquish my body, leave my body when the sun goes towards the north, Uttarayan, you know. Yeah, no, not sunset, when the sun will travel towards the north. You know, now on 14th of January was Uttarayan, when they fly kites in India. So that's when the sun moves towards the north, that's what they say. So on that day I will relinquish my body. And then when that day came, he left his body. But then he did not fight because a woman was in front. But who gave him this yukti? God gave him this yukti, that keep her in the front. So in the Mahabharata, there are different yuktis which God gives to Arjuna, how to fight, how to kill that one. But God himself did not use the bow and arrow. He did not fight. He only guided. Like Baba said, I am the true guide. I guide you. I don't fight. I don't have to fight against Maya. You have to fight. You have to win. You have to get the sovereignty of heaven. Baba doesn't rule in heaven. So this is the real meaning of the Gita. So how Baba came to Bharat and Mount Abu was selected. Mount Abu is a very special place, let me tell you. Very special place. Why? First of all, this was the summer capital of the kings, all those who ruled in India, in Rajasthan. This was the place of the kings. Rajasthan means the place of kings. So many, many districts all over Rajasthan and Gujarat. And the kings used to come and make Mount Abu their summer capital. That is why Mount Abu has many palaces around. I don't know if you have observed. When you go to Gyan Sarovar, on the left, there's like a palace, a castle. Have you seen it? Have you all observed? When you turn towards Gyan Sarovar, there's a big castle there on the left. Now when those who come from Gyan Sarovar, you'll go back to Gyan Sarovar, you see, you know, the turning point going towards Gyan Sarovar, there's a very big castle. That is called Alwar Palace. Alwar is a district in Rajasthan. You go to Naki Lake, just on top you have the Jaipur Palace. From here, when you go to Delwara Temple, there is the Bikaner Palace. Bikaner is a district in Rajasthan. And they got a palace when they came from Karachi to Mount Abu. That was called Bharatpur Palace. Bharatpur is another district of Rajasthan. So the kings used to come and stay here for 3 months, April, May, June. These 3 months were very, very good months here. All the rest of the months were not very good in Mount Abu. Because July, August, September, 3 months, lots of rain. Too much rain. August month was called the month of disgust. Disgust. Why disgust? Because so much rain, no clothes would dry, everything, 100% humidity, everything wet. Even nowadays sometimes in August, it's very wet. So that time it was worse, so much rain. And from October onwards, cold. Until March, very cold. There were no fans in Mount Abu at the beginning, no fans. No need, because it was very good weather, even April, May, June. So the kings used to come and make their summer capital here. And I remember going to Bikaner Palace. It's a hotel now. So I went there, and if you go to that palace, which is a hotel, you find big rooms. and the crockery, you know, with utensils of gold and silver and everything, gold and silver there. Yeah, even in Mount Abu you can see them. So I asked the manager of the hotel that when the king used to come here to Mount Abu, how many people accompanied him? He said 500 people. Yeah, who were his servants and, you know, all office and everything, 500. And he had a special cow from whose, you know, the milk of that cow only he would drink. So that cow also would come because, so that was the big pomp and show of the kings of that time. But then, so when these sisters came to Mount Abu, many got sick, you know, because this weather didn't suit them. The water here is quite hard. Mountain water is quite hard. And that didn't suit them. But then Baba used to tell them, don't worry children, don't worry children. A time will come when the whole world will come to Mount Abu. So you have to just bear, just tolerate. Mount Abu is the safest place otherwise in the world. No terrorists are going to attack here. It's the safest place. And it's all protected all around by mountains, no? You can see, and this is like a cup between the mountains, Mount Abu. And therefore, Baba would say that. So, April, May, June, and then July, very wet and then very cold. So hardly anybody lived here, hardly, in Mount Abu. The population was so little. There were tribals living here, you know, all tribals. The original, they only lived here. Otherwise, nobody lived here, no cultivation, nothing here. So it was quite difficult for the dadis to live here. But Baba told them, no children, one day Mount Abu is going to come in the map of the world and the whole world will come here. So now we are seeing how old world is here. So many countries represented here. So the whole world is here. So this is how we experience Madhuban. And Baba would sit on this gadi and Baba would say that children, you know, when he used to speak the murli, he used to speak with so much confidence, you know, Shiv Baba speaking, so much power. And many would ask Baba, because there would be hardly sometimes only 15-20 sitting. Only 15-20 were permanent residents here, not more than that. And Baba never made sisters live here, no. Baba would say, sisters have to live in the centers. They are the teachers, they have to look after centers. Only some skilled brothers who could do gardening and, you know, carpentry and a little bit working in the kitchen. So that's why Baba called this Pandav Bhavan. Baba said only Pandavs will live here, no Shaktis. Shaktis will live in centers. But there were two old ladies, you know, a few old ladies who could not live in centers, so they lived here. And it's a very interesting, nice, funny thing. So what happened, there were two old ladies. One of them was deaf. The other one was blind, you know. Now, these two lived in Madhuban. Because where will they go? They were right from the yajna, so they can't go anywhere else. So they lived in Madhuban. So once one sister wrote to Baba, Baba, I'm opening a center. And can you, Baba, help me in getting some sisters for the center? So Baba said, how can I help ladies here? If you want, you can take them. Because, you know, just like in a family too, in a house, supposing very bright children, they hardly are sitting at home, they are working. But if somebody is crippled or lame or, you know, mentally retarded, now they will not go to work. The parents have to look after them. So Baba had to look after the elderly people, the like physically retarded people. So they lived here. But then Baba would say, no sisters will live here. They have to live in the centers. Dadi Prakashmani used to say that Baba would never allow me to stay for more than 2 days in Madhuban. Baba would send me to a place, and then when I would return, the next day Baba would say, go there. I would say, Baba, let me stay for a few days in Madhuban. Baba would say, no, this place is for only brothers. You have to serve in the centers. Even Dadi Nirmal Shanta, she was Baba's Laukik daughter. You know Dadi Nirmal Shanta, Baba's Laukik daughter. Dadi Nirmal Shanta, Baba's Laukik daughter. So she also came at the beginning. When Shiv Baba came in Brahma Baba's body, she got a vision of how Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma. And Baba's Laukik daughter-in-law, her photo is not here. She actually saw how Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma and gave his own introduction. I am Shiva. I am an embodiment of bliss. I am Shiva. So Shiv Baba speaking the mouth of Brahma, that Baba's Laukik daughter-in-law heard. And she got a vision of how Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma. Now, at home, sitting at home, not in front of Baba. She was married and she was at her home. And there she got a vision that how that light entered. And then when she went to meet Brahma Baba, Baba in Baba's house, she got a vision of Krishna. Like Baba no more, not in ordinary dress, but Krishna's dress. And immediately she surrendered to Baba. So that was the beginning, the yajna. So these are different. See, Baba used to sit like this and eat. Baba never sat on a table chair to eat. Always on the floor. You know what Baba is eating? Drumsticks. You know what are drumsticks? You have to chew them. So Baba loved drumsticks. Baba used to play badminton. See, these are badminton rackets here. This was the place. This place where the Tower of Peace is. There, that was Baba's playground. Baba used to play cricket here, badminton here. And I, you know, anybody who would come to Madhuban, these five things we used to do with Baba every day. One was Murli with Baba, okay. Second was Amrit Vela. Baba used to come and conduct Amrit Vela here. Amrit Vela, Murli. Third was once in the Baba, children would stay for a few days, Baba would have Brahma Bhojan with the group. And then fourth was going on the mountains with Baba. Baba used to go on the mountains a lot. So the children used to go with Baba on the mountains. And fifth was playing cricket and badminton with Baba. So see how Mama is also playing badminton and cricket with a badminton racket. And Baba never lost. Baba would always win. He was so tall, no? So those who are tall, they can throw better. So, and they used to say, see why? Because there's double engine in this. Double power in this. So it is Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's soul. So that's why Baba can never lose. But then sometimes Baba would purposely lose. And Baba would say, yes, children first, children first, children first. So this is how Baba was. Okay? This is the history hall door here. You know this door outside? There's an old lady who is saluting to Baba. You know, there were many old ladies who came to Baba. So Baba told them, now do some parade. Baba was very jovial, very happy-go-lucky. So he said, now go in a parade like. So they went on a march. So all stood, all did left, right, old ladies. Left, right, and they went from here. And when they came, Baba stood watching the old ladies. And then, so one old lady is saluting to Baba. You can see, head is covered. And she's saluting to Baba. And everyone laughing. Baba saying, okay, now go on the march. So this is what Baba... You know, I'll tell you something very interesting. Because why we say four pilgrimage places? History Hall, this is History Hall, Baba's Hut, Baba's Room, and the Tower of Peace. Okay. So from here, you will go to the other pilgrimage places. I'll just tell you about them. Baba's Room. So Baba lived in his room, and that room is the same. One bed, that's all. At that time, during Baba's time, it was even smaller. On the other side of the room was pantry, Baba's kitchen, pantry, all. It's all now become Baba's room. So very small. And the same bed, Baba slept on that bed. And Baba used to go at about 11 o'clock to the hut. And the hut was also very simple. You know, you have big palm trees here in Mount Abu. So every summer, Baba used to get fresh palm leaves. And with those palm leaves, Baba used to get the cottage, that hut made. And it used to be very cool inside in summer, and especially at 11 o'clock, Baba would go and sit in that hut. Every year, Baba would get a new hut made from palm leaves. But after Baba became avyakt, they made it permanent with bamboo sticks. So now it's permanent. So Baba used to tread, you know, walk from his room to the hut, in the morning to the class, at night in the class room, the history hall, and then playing in the, you know, the Tower of Peace. That area was open ground. The last building which was under construction was the training center. And Baba used to say that there'll be training going in this building. And you remember Dadi Janki saying many times that Baba used to, you know, she used to catch hold of Baba's hand, and how Baba would walk here, and Baba would tell her, "Child, I'm making this training center here, and I'll make Indraprastha for you." Indraprastha is his building, you know, just opposite where Dadi Janki, when she comes, she stays in Indraprastha. "I'll make Indraprastha for you, where you will stay, and you will give training to Kumaris here." So this is like Baba made like a training center. And I remember after Baba became avyakt, our first Kumari's training took place here. I was in that training. We were only 30 Kumari's in that training. And we stayed up. We had our classes upstairs. We had our meals upstairs. Everything upstairs. We didn't come down at all for 1 month. So total isolation and staying in the training center. Everything was done there. And so Baba used to tread on this path. Baba's hut, Baba's room, history hall, and court, tennis court. This was called tennis court at that time. And this path is very, very powerful. The vibrations of this path are very powerful. You know, somebody came who was detecting vibrations. And he said that people outside, you know, you go on the road, the vibrations there, first of all, Naki Lake, very different vibrations. As you enter this road is called Dadi Prakashmani Road, you know, they named it Dadi Prakashmani Road. The vibrations become different. And as you enter Pandav Bhavan, the vibrations start becoming powerful. And then as you enter this path, Baba's room, hut, history hall, and this tennis court, the vibrations are so strong, you can feel them, you know. And so you can imagine how many times Baba must have walked on this path, Brahma Baba. So that's why very powerful vibrations. And when Baba used to come and sit, although people may be just the permanent residents sometimes, not always groups would come, but Baba would speak in such a powerful way, like speaking to the whole world, you know. Children, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that, as if, you know, what Baba wants his children to do. And the children used to wonder, what we are going to do, sitting here, and who will come here. So when they would ask Baba, "Baba, you said do this, do that," what you expect us to do and what and how it will happen. Baba said, children, don't worry. It's not just these 15-20 people Baba is watching and speaking the murli. Baba is also seeing those children who are going to come in the future. So Baba is speaking to them all also. Not just only to you. Because what these old people sitting here who are permanent residents, what they are going to do? And some of them so old, can't hear, can't see. The permanent residents. But Baba said, no, he's remembering, he's also looking at those who are going to come in the future. So you are the ones. So Baba says, those who were present in front of Baba during Sakal Baba's time, they were the mouth-born progeny, mouth-born children. But the ones Baba remembered who would come in the future, Baba said, they are the thought-born progeny. You understand? Born through the thoughts. And thought-born progeny is more powerful than the mouth-born progeny. Because mouth, the velocity of words, of sound, is much less than the velocity of thoughts. So how powerful the thought-born progeny are. So all of you, the double foreigners, are the thought-born children of Baba. So you are more powerful than the mouth-born progeny. Baba created you in his thoughts. Then more and more children are going to come. You know, and when Baba became avyakt, the first avyakt murli, 21st of January, was spoken here. And in that murli, Baba was asked, Baba, what are we going to do in the future now in Madhuban? Who will come? Baba said, the world will come. But now whatever murlis which Baba has spoken, they are going to be revised. And how these murlis, we are seeing, they are so much like as if they are for today. You know, when Baba talks about destruction, at that time nobody could even think of all that. But now when we are reading the murlis, we see that how much practical they are for this time of the cycle. Although Baba must have spoken this murli between 60s and 69, we have murlis of hardly 7-8 years. The real murlis. Because Baba used to say, why you need paper to keep? How much paper will you keep? Baba will be there with you till the end. So we thought Baba will be till the end means Sakar Baba will be till the end. But we didn't realize that Avyakt Bab Dada will also be with us. And we will get Baba's knowledge till the end through the Avyakt Murlis. So we did not keep many Sakar Murlis. But from wherever we could get, so about at hardly 8-10 years Murlis. Otherwise Baba spoke Murlis from Karachi, no? If we would have kept all those papers, then how much paper we would keep? Baba said, no, don't bring from Karachi, no need. And you know, all the murlis which were written, handwritten at that time, no machines, no photostat machine, no typewriters, nothing, no computers, nothing like we have today. They used to write with the hand and keep carbon paper. You know, 4 copies could be made at 4 copies, writing everything and then all over again, putting carbon paper. But Baba said, no need to bring to Bharat. Why? Because Baba will continue to give, no need to bring that. So they made a big pit and dumped all the murlis there. And Baba said, don't worry, when copper age will begin, this will come out and it will be helpful to the script, to the people who will write scriptures. So that's why Baba says, this is a pinch of salt which you put in the dough. So this is what they will get maybe. And this is just a joke, but this is what Baba said, no need to bring to Bharat. So they dumped it, they made a pit and dumped all the murlis there. And then after that also, Baba said, no need to keep. How much paper will you keep at home? How much stock can you keep? Your cupboards will be filled with only murlis and murlis. So, but what we could collect afterwards, because nobody ever thought that Baba would leave. Baba said, Baba will be with you till the end, and we'll all go together at the end. So everybody thought till the end, Baba means in sakar form, Baba will be with us in corporeal form. But Baba didn't really mean that. Baba meant that how in the angelic form Baba will come and meet children, that nobody knew. So when Baba became avyakt on 18th of January 69, after that Gulzar Dadi was made to go into trance, and she used to see Brahma Baba, angelic Brahma Baba and corporeal Brahma Baba, like, you know, two Brahma Babas, and how gradually they are coming closer to each other. Closer to each other. And when Baba became avyakt, complete, perfect, then she saw only one. And then she asked Baba, Baba, why did you leave us? How did you leave us? Baba said, I haven't left you. I've only changed my costume and my room. Now this on the last day, on 23rd, on Baba's day, Baba's guru will come on 23rd, I will give a class on that day. I'll tell you more about that then. But then how Avyakt Bap Dada started coming, so this was the place. Before I have met Baba in this hall, under this window, Baba used to sit on the floor. Baba sat on the floor. Everybody sat on the floor, so close to Bap Dada. And Baba would speak to each one. So that was the beginning. I don't know, I had photos of that, but I don't know where those photos are. 1969, 70 photos. So close. Baba sitting and meeting each one. No microphone. Baba never used the microphone. Never. Baba said, children, you can't teach on a microphone. In school, no microphones. Do you have microphones in schools? Do you? No, any microphones in schools? The teacher speaks without microphone, no? So how can you teach on a microphone? So Baba did not like microphones. But once the new tape machine came, it was a spool machine, big spools, tape machine. So that the microphone was placed before Baba. Baba said, what is this? Baba said, somebody told Baba, this is a tape machine and whatever you speak will be recorded. Baba said, really? Will it be recorded? So how will it be recorded? Baba said, you just speak. And then it was recorded, and then that person made Baba to hear that. Oh, whatever Baba spoke, it can be heard again. It was something new at that time. And then Baba said, this one is number one child. Number one child, because he repeats exactly like Baba spoke. So this, for Baba, everyone was a child. Even monkey was a child, even a bird was a child. Every day a bird would come in front of Baba and take, peanuts from Baba's hand, like. So one day the bird didn't come. So Baba said, where is that child? It hasn't come. Which child? That bird. And then the monkeys would come. Baba said, come child, come to even to a monkey. Yeah? So for Brahma Baba also, everyone was the child, no? The whole world, Prajapita, the father of humanity. So that's how we saw Brahma Baba. Okay? Of course, many more things. Now we finish here. I was told by Pratibha Ben, you will go to pilgrimage places, and then by 12:30 you can go back. All those who have come from Gyan Sarovar. Who has come from Gyan Sarovar? Okay. So you will go back, and then evening is Jayanti Ben's class. But I will give another class on more about Avyakt Bap Dada. Maybe on Baba's Day, another class. I don't know, but I will meet you all again, okay? Yes?
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.